Guys, we made it. We're finally at the season finale of the most dramatic season of Bachelor in Paradise ever. Tonight, we're going to be talking about all the couples that made it out of Paradise and the ones that didn't and that crazy reunion show. So stick with us. We've got that coming up right after this.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Almost Paradise!
Oh, man.
We made it!
We did.
We finally made it.
What a season.
I feel like we need to take a collective deep breath. Ready? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if I've ever been so excited for a reunion show while watching Paradise. This was, oh, my gosh. After I finished last night's episode and I saw the promo for today, I couldn't handle it. I'm like, I need to watch it right now.
I know. Our group chat was blowing up, guys. Renee was actually having a panic attack.
It was me. It was blowing up because it was like blue text. Like, hey, guys, did you see that? The promo. It killed me. I was very excited.
Well, I was excited, too. And I'm so happy to be back, guys. What's up? I'm Christine. I'm one of your hosts here on Bachelor in Paradise. And I'm joined by the lovely Renee.
Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel. And I cannot wait to talk about these episodes.
Me too. I've been gone for like the last 2 weeks, so I feel like I have a lot of catching up to do with you guys, my Bachelor fam, and everyone who's joining us right now on the live chat. We love you. Gosh, I have my laptop over there. Should have it up. Maybe the engineer can get us going so we can see you guys and talk to you as well. So thank you for joining us tonight.
We can see you guys.
Well, see your comments, rather. But yeah, like we said at the top of the show, we finally made it to the finale. Just your overall impressions on season 5. Did it live up to the hype?
I think it did towards the end. In the beginning, it was a little bit slow for me. There were episodes I really enjoyed. There was that 1 week that I think everyone remembers that Bachelor Nation brought it. The producers killed it. The storylines were great. And then most weeks were like, eh. But for the finale, I was very impressed. I think they did such a good job, not just teasing it, but then again, living up to the expectations. What about you?
I was very satisfied by the finale, actually. I mean, the couples that honestly we could tell from a glance weren't going to go anywhere ended up just parting ways, which we knew. And then the main couples that we were really excited to see, just some really shocking endings.
Yeah.
Especially with this reunion show. So I definitely think it lived up to the hype for sure.
Yeah, well, let's get into last night, because obviously we got like our partings, our goodbyes from couples that we knew were going to break up. Like, we had the obviously Shoshana and Robbie. Also, the weirdest, like, were the producers just trying to get like one last shot at breaking up Jordan and Jenna? Like, I was so confused why Robbie was in Paradise. Bachelor Nation isn't the biggest fan of Robbie after what happened with Amanda,
right?
But I was surprised they brought him in and then had him kind of go for Jenna, but like it didn't work out. I think it was more editing, if anything.
Yeah, it just felt like they were just trying to, like you said, get in one last relationship. But at this point, it really didn't even matter because the couples were already so strong. We knew Robbie didn't stand a chance and he already had a bad rep. It's almost seemed like when I watched him come down those steps, I said, is he just coming in for a check? Because you're not going to connect with anyone here.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was ABC's motives behind having someone that, like, nobody liked at the end? You know, it made it almost too easy to kind of cast him away, as opposed to having someone come in that could really shake things up. But I guess it was the end of filming, so
yeah,
they went with that choice.
Just felt so weird. And then I'm glad, like, he went on a date with Shoshana. I was just like, let's just get, like, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to come of this. So obviously, when they parted ways, no one was surprised at the end when he's like, it's been like a day, let's go our separate ways. But one of the couples that we didn't really care about that I did actually find their exit to be intriguing was Cassandra and the other Jordan. Kiwi Jordan, I guess we call him.
New Zealand Jordan.
Yeah. Because Cassandra was like, don't you think if, you know, we had more time? He was like, no, I think it would have just been more drawn out. I was shocked at how blunt he was.
It was pretty savage, not gonna lie. And part of me felt for Cassandra because I feel like she definitely was the second choice from like day one when she came into Paradise. Things didn't really take off smoothly with Eric, and then she was kind of not forced to, but really Jordan was New Zealand Jordan was the last person that she could try to make something happen with, and it just didn't happen there for her either. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely felt for her in that moment. I think don't handle rejection well.
Oh, me either.
Even if it's someone I don't like that much, if they're sitting there bluntly being like, no, nothing would have happened, I'd be like, ah,
are you sure?
Yeah, like that hurts. But probably the most dramatic of all the goodbyes was that even last night? It was last night. Was John.
Oh, Joe and Kendall breaking up.
Was that last night? I feel like tonight's episode to me just felt like the reunion and the proposal. So it was all last night,
I guess. It was all last night. I mean, forgive us. We're kind of getting the days jumbled up. But everything has happened like so quickly in these last two episodes to kind of wrap everything up. So that's kind of where we're at. But to just move on into the bigger couples, I mean, we spoke about Cassandra and Jordan. The only person we can say was John and Olivia. They were kind of a newer couple that formed towards the end. So
yeah, I feel like we need to get into them for, like, the reunion, because I think that was the most fascinating part of the relationship. They didn't have enough time to get to know each other. A lot of the couples that started getting together, like, towards the last few episodes, we knew they were kind of doomed, because you don't have enough time to get to know each other. It's already a speedy process.
And I will say, even with that context, it just felt so fake and produced towards the very end, because we know that there literally isn't any time. So hearing all the like, yeah, I woke up today and I really felt like I could see a future with him. Like, I just feel like we need more time. It's like, no, I'm not buying it. Are you buying it?
No.
Definitely not. So I anticipated that ending with John and Olivia, but not what came next on the reunion show, which we'll get to. But yeah, I think the most shocking breakup and truly the hardest to watch for me was Astrid and Kevin and Kendall and Joe. Those were huge breakups to have happen last night. And until this reunion show, I was like genuinely bummed out. I'm like, damn, I loved watching them.
Yeah, I think for me, I was absolutely shocked that Kevin and Astrid broke up, as was, I assume, every viewer. But with Joe and Kendall, I saw it coming. Given they did get back together, but we will get to like predictions and my thoughts about that. But like the actual breakup, I have never been so proud of someone for standing up for themselves. Joe, can we just take a moment of appreciation for Joe? He handled himself so flawlessly all season. I think this season showed his character so much. Whatever situation he was put in, whatever like negative thing that was happening around him with Kendall, like Kendall kissing Leo, going out with Leo, he remained calm. He never did something crazy or out of anger. He was always understanding. He made one comment one time about her kissing like two other guys, which is understandable, and he just wanted to be with her this whole time. So I love that finally, after all the time, she's kind of brushed aside his feelings when she tried looping in the "we, how we're feeling." He's like, "It's not we, it's you. You know how I feel about you. I've been falling in love with you since day two."
Oh my God. Yeah, I think through this whole process, Joe just reminded us why America fell in love with him. He's so real, so relatable, and he kept it, like, honestly, 100% with Kendall from day one. I mean, even when he got mad about the kisses, like, it was rightfully so. He was all in. So I can understand how it was a slap in the face to him for Kendall to just really just go ice cold, like, in the middle of their conversation and be like, "I don't think you're serious." It's like, a guy standing right in front of you saying that he literally said, "I like your soul," like right before that. Like, come on. I love Joe, but I agree with you for standing in his truth. And he peaced out right after that breakup.
That's the other thing. He didn't throw it in her face. He didn't say anything rude to her. She was hurting him. And no matter what happens, Joe is just a stand-up guy. Like, I am shocked that Becca let him go night one. It still, shakes me to my core that you let go of this diamond in the rough. There are not enough Joes out there in this world. Damn. But, like, someone that we thought was another stand-up guy turned out to kind of switch on us, like Kendall did. He pulled a Kendall, but he wasn't weird throughout the season. He was very all-in, which is Kevin.
I think he just got cold feet right at the end.
But, like, he wasn't making any sense.
Granted, on last night's episode, he made no sense.
Yes.
It was very just, like, vague, and I could feel Astrid's frustration because they had just had, like, a date the week before, kind of really confirming where they're at. And, she told him she loved him. He said it back. You really felt their connection. So for him to just come out of nowhere and just, like, I don't know, something's missing. It's like, when something is missing, I fully believe you know what it is. Maybe you just don't know how to say it. So, and even if that wasn't the case, like, why even say that? I felt like he was talking in circles to just try and come up with an excuse for, like, a weird breakup.
Yeah, for me, when someone says, like, something is missing, it makes me feel like that, like, there's a lack of connection. Maybe you made jokes that I didn't think were, like, really funny and I found them offensive. There's always, like, something, for sure.
Something.
So it felt like he wasn't, I mean, he even said I should have been more vocal about it. It felt like it wasn't just all of a sudden he woke up like Eric did earlier in the season. It felt more like he was holding things in and not telling her, and then all of a sudden decided to let it all out. So I was really disappointed in Kevin for how he handled it. I was really impressed with how Astrid handled it, because she said something that really stuck with me, which was, I gave you my 100%. I can't give you any more than I already have.
Right.
Which speaks volumes, because it's true. She's been there for him since, honestly, like, day one when they got together, around that time in the first week. And she's just given her all. She's been consistent. She's been, like, a sense of security. She never left his side when he was going through conflict with, like, Ashley I getting engaged. Mm-hmm. And I love that she's like, I did all that I know that I gave you my all. And yeah. I can't give you any more. And if that's not enough, then okay. And she peaced out.
She got out. I mean, Olivia B in the chat agrees. She says, I love how Astrid seems to handle Kevin's anxieties and neurosis. I mean, that's a good take. But you're right. I mean, Astrid has been rock solid for him. I feel like I'm so into the world because I keep using all the terms that they use. Rock solid, all in. But it's true.
Your promo for The Bachelor.
I'm in my own ITM right now. But it's true. And one thing I did really appreciate about their connection is that they always seem to have a very level-headed gauge on where they were at. I feel like they never were like full steam ahead, like, oh, we're going to get married at the end of this. We're, you know, like, just kind of blowing out of proportion where they were at. I feel like every time we did see them on screen, like, I was right in it with them. Yeah. And I genuinely felt like they were on the same page. So I was just as blindsided as Astrid. I feel for you, girl. You know, she tweeted out after, like, this wasn't a part of our 12-month plan, which they said that they came up with on the show. And I was like, oh, girl, I feel for you so hard. So that was disappointing to see.
Yeah, but that was pretty much everything that happened in last night's episode.
Night one.
Yeah, everything. Oh, my gosh. Tonight's episode was everything, though.
We got to get into it, because we know, guys, that was the real juicy tea. And I do see you guys in the live chat talking about some of the drama that dropped tonight. I promise we're going to get there soon. So if you're tuning in right now, just know that we will be addressing the recent news about Jenna and Jordan.
And trust me, if you don't know what it is, it's super juicy. You're going to want to hear this, I promise you. So keep listening or watching. Hey, guys.
Yes. And speaking of listening, shout out to everyone listening to us on iTunes, whether it's right now, tomorrow. We love you guys. So thank you.
Thank you.
But let's get into tonight. We started off this reunion show kind of picking up on the very tail end of whoever was left in Paradise and just seeing if after the fantasy suites, they decide to be together or not.
Yeah.
You know, the first couple, I believe, was
Annalise
and Camille.
Oh, who, God.
Can I just say before we get into this, because I've been gone for a couple weeks, guys, so I didn't really get to share my opinion on how I felt about that connection. I will say, Annalise, you are so resilient in your quest for love, girl. You never, ever gave up.
No.
And you know, part of me was so happy when it seemed like things were working out with Camille, because I'm like, finally, she's got her guy. But I will say, I've never
believed it.
I never really believed it from his end.
Yeah.
Up until Shoshana came into the picture, and he completely kept, like, saying no to her and professing that he was serious about Annalise. That was the moment where I started to believe that it was there for them.
Yeah.
But still not enough to see this working out outside of Paradise. I was actually shocked by the fact that they decided to stay together and work things out.
See, for me, I kept wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I really like Annalise, and I think she just really wanted to find a connection.
Yeah.
And she fought so hard this season to find someone, and that's fine. Like, if you, like, when you want to find love and you're on a show, literally a show where you're supposed to find love, it's understandable that she kept trying to pursue people. That makes sense.
She was open. Super open.
So I really feel for her. I think Camille, though, he always just, not even just his body language, just things he said to people that weren't Annalise about their relationship always kind of weirded me out. And I always thought, to give him the benefit of the doubt, it was like a language barrier. I'm like, oh, maybe he calls it a friendship because they're not yet boyfriend and girlfriend, so he thinks of it as a friendship because it's not necessarily a full-blown relationship. I kept wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt, but clearly, he just was never all in, and I felt so, so hard for Annalise when you hear her like, I'm ready to get engaged, and he's like, I'm not ready for that. She's like, me neither. I'm like, yeah, you are.
It looks like the live chat agrees. Misha C saying, look, Annalise clearly has issues, and we all knew he wasn't serious about her, but I didn't think that he would wait until the reunion to dump her.
But you've never been in something where, like, the guy's not that, like, that serious about you and your friends see it, but you think that you see something in them that, like, other people don't see. Like, I've brought, like, dates to, I've had, like, I'll bring a date to a group hangout, and my friends will be like, that guy's an F-boy, Renee. Like, I don't think he really cares. I'm like, are you sure, though? He's such a stand-up guy, don't you think so? And they usually turn out to be right. So I feel like when America sees it and people in paradise like Chelsea warn her, sometimes love is blind. We don't see it ourselves.
Well, true. But I will say, though, like, obviously now hindsight is 2020. I'm sure Annalise watching this back can, you know, start to answer some questions for her if the reunion didn't give her the answer she needed, which was it's over. But while they were in that bubble, though, I feel like even though she kind of heard it from Chelsea a little bit, like Chelsea, she also viewed Chelsea as competition because she thought trying to steal her man. So I don't think that was going to get through to her. And everybody else was really also just rooting for her to find love. So they weren't going to like crush her dreams when she finally did get to Camille, even though it didn't take a rocket scientist to see that they're truly what, like, it wasn't the kind of connection that I think Annalise was waiting for. But she
deserves,
for that matter. But I think she was just so set on, like, settling with someone at that point that she just latched on, like, truthfully. And I don't think she's a bad person. I do think that she needs to reassess how she connects with people and goes about relationships, though. Because as a guy, and I feel horrible saying this as a woman, but, like, I tried to look at it the other way, and I'm like, I don't know, Annalise would come off really strong for me, like, if I was trying to date her. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think it's, like, what you sign up for. You know, this isn't in the real world. Right. This isn't Annalise dating in the real world. Like, every one of those people signed up to onto a show where you might get engaged in, like, 3 weeks. Everyone should be in that same
circle.
But
not everybody goes about it the way that Annalise has.
Okay, I will defend Annalise to the end because I really like her. I think she's so sweet. I heard all the hate she was getting. People were calling her desperate. Everyone on the show is a little bit desperate for something, whether that's fame, whether that's trying to get out new merch about following the cheese. We're all desperate for something on that show. So Annalise was desperate to find a connection, other people to stay on the show. And I don't fault her for that because, if anything, she was on there for the most genuine reasons.
You're right. I do think she genuinely wants love. I just definitely have issues with how she went about it.
That's fair.
And the thing was, you know, I watched her interview with Lauren Zima on Entertainment Tonight where she said that she felt like her time on The Bachelor was not an accurate representation of who she was, but that this was. So I'm inclined to believe it from the horse's mouth that this is what she's really like. Let's also take into mind, like you said, this is a show. Everyone's in a pressure cooker. There is so much pressure to play the game because each week the power changes. But I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to rag on the girl. She clearly has had an awful night. I mean, that breakup was awful to watch. I'm sure we can just get into it now on the reunion show. It was hard to watch because, on the one hand, I hear Camille saying that, you know, he tried and it's just not there.
He didn't try. He's a liar.
Annalise sticks by that. He didn't actually try. But when I think about what she probably thinks is trying versus what he does, it's probably way different.
See,
I agree with the comment earlier that he probably should have broken up with her off camera. They were in New York together.
She literally said 2 weeks ago she tried to dump him and he didn't deny it. This guy wanted to do this on TV. He's not genuine. But what sucks is Annalise is already getting so much hate for, like, being desperate and, like, clingy. And now she gets broken up on TV and because he said there's no spark and it's going to make her look even worse. And I hate that. I do think people are feeling for her to an extent, but I think because of all this backlash she's received for, you know, really searching for love on the show, like, through different people, she did try finding potential in three people on the show. I don't think people see it as it truly is, which I truly believe that Camille was probably a different person after the show. I bet he didn't try
as
much. I'm sure
that she was too, though. I think that they both were.
But who, maybe to, you know, the fact that it's the real world, but I can totally see her, like, wanting to, the fact that they just broke up now says so much more about Camille than it does about Annalise being different.
For sure, especially going about it that way. But I think to your point earlier, though, I think, you know, as much as it may look bad, I think Camille definitely looks worse out of this.
Looks like, worse for sure.
I think Bachelor Nation is going to rally around her. It almost makes me wonder if
she'll be Bachelorette.
I was thinking, like, are they building this edit for her? Because she clearly is open to finding love. She can cry on cue. She's very expressive. All the things you might need in a lead, but I don't know that I could see her dating, like, multiple people because she latches on so tightly to the first person. I can't see her juggling a bunch of guys, which is why the Bachelor idea came and went out of my head.
Well, the only reason I think she wouldn't be Bachelorette is not even because of that, because I think that would make for great TV. I think it's because of the edit she got on Bachelor in Paradise. People right now are not relating to her. They find her desperate and clingy. Yeah. They're not seeing her as someone just searching for love. They're seeing someone like climbing it up, like an uphill battle, just like, I need to find someone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel for her. I don't want to fault her. I would love to hear what you guys think, because I liked Annalise. I felt like she was just a genuine person. Maybe she made a few wrong turns in Paradise, but like, you're recorded 24/7 on a beach trying to find love, and when you get rejected after rejection after rejection, what do? You're just trying to find a husband, right?
Right. But let's like lower our expectations a little bit, because I think with Paradise, you always think the grass is greener or the next person coming down is going to be the one. And I think it's low-key a lesson that it's like, it's not always the case.
Oh, speaking of which, can we get into the most awkward, weird, planned, paid interaction between Tia and Colton? Okay. So, I don't know if at this point, it was definitely decided that he was the Bachelor at this point, but I don't know if it was out.
That's what we were trying to figure out while watching this, guys. And you let us know what you think in terms of timeline, where this was at with Tia and Colton on the reunion show. Because up until it started, I didn't even know he was going to be on it. He was never seen in any of the promos.
Yeah, I mean, I figured he had to be on it because he was such a, like, you know, big, he had a big storyline in Paradise. Not for the one sure. that we
but,
loved.
But you know, ABC likes to protect its lead. He's already got enough things going on around him. So to your point, they definitely staged that very amicable interaction between those two.
It felt scripted. Like, she's like, you know, I thought we were on the same page this whole time and we weren't, but now we are, and we are good friends. Right, Colton? And Colton's like, you know, it was so weird.
And it also, like, made me mad for her, because I'm like, girl, you know you never wanted to be just his friend. And now you're trying to eat this humble pie like it's okay. But we know you're tight inside. Like,
this is Tia we're talking about.
This is
about.
Tia.
Tia wouldn't let him live down the one weekend they had in January. Are you kidding me? She's not over it. There's no way. We know Tia. Tia's salty.
You think she went through all of this, potentially being painted out as like a villain, to just end up with a lifelong friend, like Colton keeps saying? I'm so sorry.
BS.
But that's BS. And I've never wanted to just be lifelong friends with any of my exes or guys that it worked out with, didn't work out with, that I really wanted. Like, no, I kind of hate your guts for a little bit. I'll probably get over it. But no, I don't want to necessarily be your lifelong friend. So that was a load of crap. But
I have a prediction for why that happened.
Why do you think that is?
I think she's in the running to be the next Bachelorette. I think they told her, I think they definitely paid her good for that reunion show to be like, shut up, don't say how you really feel. But they were also like, do you want to be Bachelorette or not? Do you want to find a husband, or do you want to be bitter about an ex that you dated for like 2 weeks? And she's like, fine. So I don't think she will be Bachelorette, because there's no way we're not going to get like a cool girl during Colton season, right? Like, hopefully.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think that is absolutely why, though. She was part of the reason why she was so chill about everything.
Let us know in the comments, guys. I see some people talking about Tia from here. People agree. TJ Crawford says, you know, Tia is so salty, in all caps. while Misha C says, Colton is getting enough hate. They were not going to get him any talk time. People are ready with snipers to get that boy.
Of course.
I mean, I'm sure. And even to your point where you were saying before about, you know, his season kind of maybe giving us some new fresh faces in Bachelor Nation that could potentially be The Bachelorette. And I'm all for that. And I've said this before on the show that up until last season, The Bachelor was actually my favorite part of the franchise, only because I loved meeting the new women. I feel like they really make this franchise what it is. So I'm excited to see the girls that Colton dates, because I definitely think it'll make for an even more interesting season and paradise to come. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily thrilled about watching Colton in particular, but rather his journey. But they kind of wrap that up in a bow. And honestly, are we even really mad? Did we want to see them go back and forth again? We definitely got the T and Colton show all season long. So,
well, you know, the T that I wanted to see was not going to happen. I wanted her to be like, you just wanted your Bachelor edit. You were faking it. But that was in my dreams. It would never happen. So, yeah, their actual T, like, I thought you liked me. And him being like, I just wasn't feeling it. Her being like, you sound like Camille. That would have been boring. So,
yeah,
to be fair. But Joe and Kendall, when they re-met at the reunion, Kendall, really good job acting, girl. Like, she seemed upset. She seemed like they weren't still dating. I give her props.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, she looked gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God. Well, I love that the producers gave us that moment of them in Chicago.
Oh my God, everything. That was everything.
Think about us having to just hear what happened in that conversation from them later on. We got to see it. And Joe looked so good in that clip.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Renee. Can we have a moment? Let's go to church. Oh my Lord.
He looked so good.
Joe looked so good. And Kendall looked so, like, sad and desperate. Not to, but, like, oh my God, it was such a good juxtaposition, because you can tell the power shifted.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved Joe's response to her in that moment, because you can tell that he still loved her, but he was realistic. And that's why I swear I stand for Joe so hard, because he said, it's going to be hard for me to get back to that place. Like, I started to try and shut you out, which, honestly, after a breakup, when you, like, it ends on those terms, you do just want to, like, push it away.
Yeah.
So it was realistic. It was refreshing to hear that from him, instead of it being like, oh my God, I loved you too. I've been thinking about you every single day since.
Are you talking about Lauren and...
Yeah, like she wasn't at all mad.
Wait, like, side note, where the hell were they?
It was Lauren, like, and Ari?
No.
Who?
Kendall and Joe. It was, like, echoey. It kind of felt like a lobby. I'm like, why did they go to a
hotel
house?
Lobby.
Like, why? And then I'm like, where does Joe live?
Well, I'm going to take a guess that maybe he lives above his grocery store to manage it.
They were like, this isn't going to work for us. We're going to go to this very echoey hotel lobby to make it believable that they just, like, met up. So weird. But, oh my God, I don't think I've ever been more attracted to Joe than in this moment. He looked so fine. And he was so like, this is how I feel. I got to see if I can get back there. And I'm like, just don't get back there. Just call me.
I mean, make Kendall sweat a little bit, because he straight up, like, professed how she felt, and she was definitely the commitment phobe out of those two. So don't, you know, it's hard sometimes when you really love somebody and they come back with such a grand gesture that makes you feel like, okay, like, ooh, it's right in front of me. But you have to have that moment of discernment where you're like, no, like, let's take a beat, let's give it a breath, and let's see what you're really about. I mean, her flying out to see him definitely was a lot, but I think it says something to the fact that he flew back out to see her. And, oh my God, I was, oh my God, oh, while watching it, because I really love them. And I do hope it works out. I've seen some interesting comments about Kendall a little while earlier. Seems like the chat is moving on from that. But, you know, just kind of questioning her intentions. And I think Bachelor Nation definitely kind of felt a way about Kendall at first, because she broke Arjo's heart. But do you believe where they're at right now and that they'll last?
No, I don't think they're going to last. I do believe where they are now, but I stand by. I truly think that Kendall thinks she's in love with Joe. I think there's some sort of connection there, but something is clearly missing, because I think, I don't care how scared you are, I get it. Like, some people are commitment phobes, some people are scared. It wasn't just that end where she was like, oh, this is getting too serious. She was looking for other connections, like,
the whole time.
And if you really enjoyed his company that much and you had that much of a connection, you wouldn't have fell into Leo's arms. What if Leo wasn't a shithead? Let's just be honest. What if he wasn't a shithead? I don't think it would be her and Joe sitting there right now. Joe is just such a stand-up guy that I think anyone could, like, somewhat see themselves with Joe. But I don't think he is actually going to be the one that Kendall ends up with, which I hate because I love Joe and I do love Kendall. I just think that there's so much like evidence for why they wouldn't end up, or like red flags for why they won't end up together, than them actually it really being like a sweet love story. I don't buy it.
I could definitely see your point. I'm just going to play devil's advocate real quick because it's only two of us. Well, so Joe is like this unicorn, you know? He's so genuine. He's so fine.
Like 3 minutes straight of us just harping on Joe.
I'm so sorry to our male listeners, okay? If you're out there. But we love Joe, and I'm sure you guys do too. He's a guy's guy. But he's so genuine, so real. We've grown to love him so much. He's now about to be on Dancing with the Stars and potentially living in LA and immersing himself in this whole...
We could have him on the show.
That's a good point. We can have Joe on the show. Guys, tweet Joe and let him know. Come on.
Everyone, right now, I know you're on the internet listening live, but please,
to make my point short and sweet, do you think, like, he'll change? There's not a possibility that he might change? And
why would he have to change?
I don't know. He's not perfect. He's still a person.
He is perfect. Oh. Don't you diss Joe. Joe is a... Joe needs to be Bachelor 2020. Joe for Bachelor. I'm calling it now. He needs to be. I'm sorry, but Joe needs to be Bachelor. I love him.
So you see him being the Bachelor and not staying with Kendall.
Yes.
TJ, actually, Danae Young says, who would you theoretically like to see Joe with? And I think that's a really good question. Like, do we want to see him potentially meet someone else, date someone else who's already in Bachelor Nation? Because, you know, before Kendall, in my mind, I kind of could see him with, like, Christina Shulman for a little while. I shipped them in my mind.
I don't, but like, I see them being super compatible, though. I don't know. I don't know who I see Joe with. I think I would need to see there be chemistry. I never felt true chemistry with Kendall and Joe. Just felt like they really cared about each other. Mm. I've always felt that, like, love and that care, but not so much, like, that chemistry, that fun banter.
Right.
So I don't know. I would have to see him around other girls. But he was so loyal to Kendall all season that we didn't see that.
Yeah.
So hopefully, here's the thing. I do hope they work out. I don't want to be such a cynic. I know I'm being a cynic. I think actions speak louder than words. And how Kendall was for majority of this season showed that she's not completely all in for Joe. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But there are more couples.
There are more couples. We do have to get to the success stories from Paradise.
Well,
with an asterisk next to that success story. So let's talk about Astrid and Kevin again, who reunited on tonight's show.
Yes, that was, I liked this a lot because I truly believe Astrid's kind of attitude towards everything, where she was like, yeah, well, we're, you know, in limbo. And she wasn't just hiding how happy she was. I truly think they're working through things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy Kevin owned his shit. I'm so happy he owned his shit. I'm happy he went to therapy. I'm happy he figured out why he did what he did. He didn't just come running back because he was like, oh no, like, what did I do? You know, he like went to therapy, figured out what went wrong, and now they're working towards something again. They didn't just hop back in it. So I think they could work out for sure, because I think it was Kevin's baggage. Not that there was anything wrong with the couple. He just worded that so poorly when he was breaking Astra's heart on television.
Thank God for therapy, because he definitely did come to terms with how he felt and did right by our girl Astrid. So I'm definitely agreeing with you that I hope those two last. I want to see them go all the way. I mean, it's going to be a long distance relationship. Don't know how that's going to work, but
if any of them could do a long distance relationship, though, it could be them. Wait, quick side note, and then we'll get into the last two because I know we're short for time. That moment that they didn't have enough time, and I get it because it was such a juicy episode, but when John and, was it John and Chelsea were FaceTiming behind her back?
Yeah, that's some tea right there.
Okay.
Olivia was pretty upset by that.
Okay, I love the way Olivia played it up, though. She's like, yeah, you know, you said you want to be friends, but, and you know, long distance was hard, but you could have been FaceTiming me when you were FaceTiming Chelsea.
Bloop.
Also, Chelsea, girl, stop. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, Chelsea really, like, rubbed me the wrong way towards the end of Paradise, because I know, you know, homegirl really wanted to find somebody, but she just came off really two-faced towards the end. Like,
yeah.
Kind of just trying to scheme a little bit, and
And John,
grasping for straws.
We wanted to give John kind of the, you know, the, we love John. John's a very lovable character.
Bachelor Nation rallied around John almost as much as Joe.
Yeah, which is crazy because he is a player. Like, we thought maybe it was just in Paradise, and then it was outside of Paradise too. So I don't know. I feel mixed about John. I just found that whole thing a little weird, and I wish that we got to see more of it, because I feel like whenever there's drama with John, they're like, here's a 1 30-second clip of him and Jubilee breaking up. And it's like, here's a 2-second back and forth that was juicy information. But I get it. They're limited on time. I was just bummed about that.
Yeah.
But the happiest couple that we should get into, before we get into the greatest drama of the season that, oh my God, you guys. But Crystal and the Goose.
Crystal and the Goose, who actually freaking brought me to tears just now. Truthfully, I'm not going to lie. I was totally, you know, wiping something out of my eye. But something talk about a redemption circle, like a redemption story come full circle for both of them.
Yes.
You guys know, if you've been watching us on the show, how much I ragged on Crystal on her season, on Ari's season. And Chris definitely wasn't loved going into this. So the fact that those two really just showed everybody, and I think themselves, a different side and found love with each other was surprising, but it just worked so well. I think more than it worked with Jordan and Jenna.
Oh, for sure. I used to say I love to hate Crystal. Like, I love to watch her on Ari's season because she was just a lot. And then Chris, I just hate. Yeah. I still don't love him, guys. I'm not going to lie, but I love him with Crystal. Their happiness just seems so real. I love them together. I think they truly bring out the best in each other.
They do.
I love this. I think we're going to get like a televised wedding for sure. But they're so sweet. I'm so happy for them. I think of all the love stories, theirs like worked out by far the best.
By far and wide. I definitely see them becoming, you know, in line with the Jaden Tanners, the Ashley I and Jared's, like, Kristen Crystal. I think they're going to really be a staple bachelor couple that we're going to continue to see. Also, because they do make really good TV. So I think them pairing up with each other was actually like the best thing that could have happened for ABC.
I agree.
Least out of these final Paradise couples. Or maybe not, because this last couple just served us the tea of the century, guys.
Oh my God.
We teased it at the beginning of the show. The live chat has been blowing up about it all night. It's time for us to get into Jordan and Jenna.
My heart is actually broken because I mean, I don't know. You've been gone the last couple of weeks, but whenever Christina and I have been talking about Jenna and Jordan, we're like, they're so sweet. They're so fun. They're such like a unique couple. And I was sold. I was on the Jenna-Jordana train.
Jordana. Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys know I was never the biggest fan of Jordan, but I gotta say, during those weeks when I was gone and those episodes aired, he totally won me over. I'm gonna be honest here, by being such a stand-up guy, at least on the relationship front. I still think he's kind of an annoying person, but in terms of reassuring Jenna at every turn, really just being like the kind of guy that you would want in a situation like that, and for it to play out this way is really, really effed up, I gotta say. So if you don't know by now and you've been under a rock, let's fill you in. If we can bring up some screenshots that we have.
You want to read it? Do you have it on your phone?
I do have it on my phone. So today, Bachelor Nation spoilers. I mean, it's been all over the internet, but reposted some text messages between Jenna Cooper and her alleged sugar daddy.
And this was, by the way, this was confirmed. Her phone number was confirmed, allegedly, by Reality Steve, but essentially, she's been faking things with Jordan the entire time. If you want to, like, even sum up or read some of that text, the one that was leaked online, it's crazy because they seem so happy. We actually found this news story before tonight's episode, and watching her on the reunion episode, I was so angry. Like, the way she, like, because I think she, I hate to say it, but I do think she, this is true, because one, no one has spoken out. No Rip has spoken out saying that it's not true. Two, Jordan hasn't posted anything. Jenna hasn't posted anything. Everything is pointing to that this is true, and I hate that it is.
I know, and no one else has really commented on it in Bachelor Nation yet, so it's just, you know, we're just all kind of waiting to see what comes next. But just to read, I guess, the more shocking parts of this text message that begins with, you know, good morning, handsome. I wanted to say sorry. She's apologizing to the alleged guy that she's with, saying, I know you're upset about this week's episodes, but I told you yesterday and I keep telling you that this is all for my business. You know how much I need the money. Me and Jordan aren't together for real. I don't even like him, let alone love him. I'm better than him. And once I'm able to break it off for good and make up some story to make him look bad, if it'll make you feel better, he means nothing to me, never has. None of the other guys I go out with mean anything. All for work and networking. You're the only one I need in my life, the only guy who interests me. I need you to love me and always be there for me. Followed by a screenshot of Jordan's mom, commenting in the Facebook comments. Someone who's good enough to creep and grab that. We're heartbroken. So is Jordan. I'll be laying low. Nothing like holding your grown son while he cries.
I hate this. I hate this so much. Jordan is someone that clearly keeps his walls up, doesn't fall in love often, and it truly felt like a love story for him. And I hate that she, how can you fake it with that to the point of getting engaged? I've never been so disgusted. It's one thing if both people are on the same page and you're faking it for TV, both of you. But Jordan was clearly falling for this girl hard. He said, I only want to get engaged once. We heard the way he talked about her. I feel so bad for him because he really showed his best side on this show towards the end when Jenna brought out the
when
best
it mattered most
part. Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that she is still faking it, like on this reunion show, I can't wait to see what the hell she says about this, because good luck, Jenna. Like, I don't know why you would do this.
See, two things really stick out to me. One is in this text, she says, none of the other guys I go out with mean anything. So this leads me to believe that this isn't the only person that she's been hooking up with, seemingly while engaged to Jordan. So that tells me you're a cheater. And for two, it's like what you said. It's like if she was faking it and it wasn't genuine, to take it that far, I think, was just really cruel.
So cruel.
It's, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, and girls are usually more vocal about, like, not wanting to be proposed to twice. They want to say yes once and just have that be the real thing. But, like, let's look at it from Jordan's perspective. He probably genuinely didn't want to do that one more time. It seems like he really decided on Jenna. And now that experience is robbed from him, too. And now he's publicly just embarrassed in the worst way. Like, this is mortifying.
And how do you go through, like, how do you get into another relationship after everything is a lie? She says she doesn't even like him. And watching the episode today where she has her speech where she's saying, like, you made me believe in love again, I could not help but cringe, because this is all a script. And if you watch it now, doesn't it feel, watch it back now that you know this information, doesn't it feel so scripted? Like, now aren't you like, damn, like, it seemed like she planned this. I don't know. I'm still in shock if this is true, and I really think it is, but I just, oh my God.
Yeah, Meg is feeling the same way that I am in the chat, and this, she's, you know, she says he brought up a wedding date. Like, that's what made it feel even worse.
But a TV one.
If you knew this, a TV wedding that was supposed to be on June 9th, like, oh my God, like, we should have something happen that day to memorialize their relationship, because
I know.
Poor Jordan. I can't even believe I'm saying this, but seriously, poor Jordan. I'm so sorry you're going through this.
You know what that means, though? She probably had some plan before June 9th to then really look like the victim of, oh, we had a wedding date plan. I was so unlucky. He's the reason my walls came down. Like, all this BS that I'm so happy we didn't even have to hear, because honestly, I'm happy he broke today. I'm happy that she looks like a fool on this reunion show, because I'm
messed
sorry.
Up.
I'm sorry, but she deserves it. If this is true, she deserves it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we'll be keeping our eyes peeled to see what happens. We're kind of running out of time, but there was another piece of juicy drama today, which the chat was talking about earlier, which came out about Amanda Stanton being arrested over the weekend for domestic violence. Now, I have it on good word from a source that it's not as bad as it's being made out to look. Allegedly, she was drunk at a party over the weekend, a bachelorette party with her boyfriend, and was really out of control drunk and pushed him really hard and was being a little drunk and disorderly, and was then taken into custody afterwards for just being ridiculous and pushing. And it came off as domestic violence. It's definitely not something to play around with, especially with an accusation like that. I've heard rumors that she is known to be very aggressive in relationships. That's circled around before too. Yeah. So it's all those things leading up to this coming out today looks very, very bad.
I can't help but laugh at her mugshot. She looked so pissed.
But she also, like, is kind of serving right now.
She's like, I know. It's like she looks so angry. It's angry smiles. It's a nice, like, camera glare. She looks like it's 3 in the morning. Are you effing kidding me? Like, that's the vibe I get from that picture. I looked at it. Just looks so... She looks like she's such deep in thought. She's like, what the fuck did I just do?
Oh, my God. Well, this, but you know... But I feel for her. I do feel for her. And this, you know, juicy kind of drama came in a little later in the day. So, forgive us. We haven't had the chance to completely fact check everything. But, you know, even things about Jordan and Jenna are slowly trickling out. We're going to, like I said, keep our eyes peeled for more news about that. And we'll keep you guys updated in the best way that we can. But like Chris Harrison said, we are done until January 7th.
Oh, my gosh.
January so 7th. Long.
I want The Bachelor now, Christine.
I know. We have 5 months.
That's so long.
Is my math right? Yeah, 5 months. I was like, what? 5 months to mentally prepare ourselves for the Colton show.
It's like 10 of Colton's relationships.
Oh, my God.
5 months? Damn. Wow, I cannot believe. What a season.
What a season.
I wish we had Christina and Sterling. I know. Miss Sterling and Christina. I wish we had them here today, but wow. What an amazing season.
It's been real.
I always dread this day because this is the longest break in between all the shows.
It is. I mean, we may or may not do Bachelor Nation Weekly. We'll figure something out to kind of keep our Bachelor fix going, you know, try to get some good guests for you guys. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the drama isn't going to stop. I feel like, you know, me and my sister were talking about this, who was on the show, that the best real juicy stuff happens right after it airs. Like this month or two when the dust kind of settles from everything that aired is when things really happen.
Yeah, I think so. If anything, we'll for sure do specials when news comes up. I think we're still figuring out our schedule. So follow us on social media to figure all that out.
And make sure you're subscribed to the AfterBuzz TV YouTube channel, AfterBuzz TV Reality, Dramas, all of our channels, any which way that you can, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram, to be updated when and if we decide to do another show. And obviously just hold out until January when the full panel will be back, full meaning Christina, and maybe a new fourth, who knows?
Maybe.
We're so happy for Sterling who's moved on. But in the meantime, you know, it's been real. It's been a fun season.
It really has.
Oh, man, what a paradise. But until next time, you guys can find me on social media at Christine I. Alexis on Instagram and at Christine Bean on Twitter. It's been real. I love you. You get my final rose, guys.
And you guys can follow me at Renee Ariel on Instagram and on Twitter and check out my blog, Sexting and the City. I was just super honest in a brand new blog post about finding your soulmate. So Annalise, check it out. And the rest All right, guys, we will see you next time.
Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.